Is there any administrative report on this public hearing item?
Mr. Mayor, no. I hope that we were able to solve the wording issue, but Mr. Mayor, I believe Assemblymember Gilbert has one concern she wanted, one change she wanted here.
We should wait until the actual item,
right.
Not under public hearing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Okay. Thank you, Kim, for keeping us on track. Did you see that joke, what she did just there? That's pretty good. You're right about that.
She does that all the time.
She's the clerk.
Thank you for keeping us on track. So we will deal with that when we have a main motion in place. I didn't have anybody sign up under persons to be heard, but I'd just like to open up. Does anybody want to speak on the on this item under public hearing? I'm not seeing anyone. So given that nothing else administratively, we will close this public hearing, and there's a recommended motion.
Move to approve ordinance number 970.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Discussion. Patty, now.
Yeah. The wording for inflation formula that relates back to the charter, that's good. That's as good as it can get. My other concern is the investment committee has so many roles and responsibilities listed throughout this municipal code that instead of it being just appointed as the mayor does, the mayor has the ability to appoint committees. I think it's like 3.04 in the code. I would like to have the mayor appoint the committee, but then have it be ratified by resolution so that there's some history of the makeup of the investment committee. It kind of bothers me that everything else is defined in this code, but the investment committee, you know, who composes the investment committee and when will it be appointed, and it's really not addressed. It's not defined.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, ma'am.
I know that there was a real loosey-goosey investment committee last year, but it never got really going. But prior to that...
Well, you're on it.
I know.
Yeah.
Prior to... I know. That's why I said it was loosey-goosey and we never met. But prior to that last year, was there one? Has there ever been one?
I think there's only one when we have to decide who to invest funds with.
Yeah.
I remember it.
It's probably not good.
Mr. Mayor, may I ask a
yes.
question? So, Assemblymember Gilbert, are you suggesting that this ordinance needs to be changed, or would you like to see the change in Chapter 3, where the investment committee is actually outlined, so that's where the definition comes?
Well, that could work, or what I was thinking, I think the investment committee should be appointed at the beginning of a municipal election, after a municipal election, because I think the investment committee should be composed of two assembly members, finance director and or assistant, if that ever, and the borough manager. But I'm afraid that if we don't have it defined, that assemblies down the road, they just have it, two people. So I thought, I want this to go forward tonight. I don't want to have another hearing because I came up with something else. But
would it be helpful if the attorney spoke to that?
I thought if we ratify it, then there's some historical, we memorialize it. So,
Joe, what do you think?
Do you think that's a good solution?
You're here.
Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, audience, my name is Joe Lebeck. I'm the borough attorney. So, ratify or confirm?
Right.
Oh, I never even thought about confirm. As long as there's some historical document that, because it's not defined, and that sort of bothers me, because there's about 8 duties and responsibilities that's put upon the investment committee.
So I'd be willing to work with the clerk and the manager to find a place in the code that we could just make a small amendment and say that a mayor gets to make his appointments, but they have to be confirmed by the assembly.
And whatever other definitions that we think need to be in there for the committee itself, like who makes it, who makes up the committee, et cetera. we can work on that.
Okay. Would that cover off for you, Patty? Does that cover your concerns?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that'll
work. We can do that.
Thanks very much. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I thought when I read through this, it was really cleaned up. Though. I mean, it's, mm-hmm. it's, yeah.
Yeah. I want it to go forward.
Mm-hmm. Any other discussion on the item? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
And Mayor Prusanka?
Yes. Okay. Moving on to unfinished business 12A, resolution number 12-19-1506 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, authorizing the refund of overpayment of property taxes and expenses to Arnold and Ellis Backey due to a manifest error in the amount of $4,382.46 postponed from the September 24, 2019 meeting. Have a motion.
Move to approve resolution number 12-19-1506, authorizing the refund of overpayment of property taxes to Arnold and Alice Backey in the amount of $4,382.46.
Move to a second and second it. Mr. Backey, do you want to come forward and sit closer so you can hear? You're welcome to come sit right here so you can hear everything. I want to make sure you can hear okay. And Helen, did you want to come forward now and speak?
Mr. Mayor, I can, I was going to say, I can give a little bit of background here too.
Sure,
like.
Let's, you, we'll let her do some background and then you come on up, okay? Does that work for you? Can you hear okay, Mr. Backey? Is that better?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
So, Mr. Mayor, this was previously before the Assembly in September, and one of the things that is at issue here is that the overpayment of taxes has been taking place since the structure was fully constructed in 1994. However, there is, and that is the refund that of overpayment of taxes of which the Backeys are requesting. What administration is recommending is that be reserved or restricted to what is in state statute, a 6-year statute of limitations on the repayment of overpaid taxes. And the reason for that is because, although that seems completely unfair to the taxpayer, and I admit that that is the case, it sets a precedent for us in that if ever we were to move forward as a borough, if somebody else were to come forward and ask for a refund, we would be setting ourselves up for a very serious issue to have to pay back in perpetuity for anybody that asked for that if we don't stick to that 6-year limit of statute of limitations. And that is why the administrative recommendation is for the 6-year time period plus accrued compounding interest through that time and a small amount of fees that the Backeys had to incur with an accountant. At that last meeting in September, Assemblymember Powell, confirmed by the rest of the Assembly, asked for the full amount of what it would be to repay the entire amount from 1994, and some calculation had to be done for that. And so we have updated that amount in the agenda statement, and that information is here for you to take a look at and make a decision as you will. Two other things I want to point out. I left the remainder of the agenda statement intact from what it was previously, and I had previously misreported that the reason this manifested itself to begin with was that Helen had begun helping her parents because they had failed to get their senior exemption in on time. That is inaccurate. They got all their stuff in on time. So I wanted to clarify that misreport in the agenda statement. The second thing I also wanted to mention is following the last assembly meeting, a member of the community came forward to an assembly member and said they believe that there actually had been an apartment or was an apartment in the basement or in the lower level at the Backey's house. And we went, both the clerk and I went over at the invitation of the Kellers. I brought this up to them. I felt like it was my due diligence to do that. And at the Backey's invitation, went over and inspected it. And there is clearly no living space there. There is a small half bath with a toilet and a sink only. because they use that area significantly for shop space and other things. And there is what you might consider to be a quasi kitchen that has counter space and a sink and freezer and refrigerator because they use that area for fish and game processing and storage. But clearly no apartment. So I just wanted to clarify that for the public.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Helen, I'd like to invite you up now to come in and speak to us. Can you hear this okay?
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you.
If you can't hear it, let us know, okay?
I guess with that the way that the last meeting went, I thought that there was going to be more discussion on this, and so I wrote this up, and so you have to bear with me. First of all, I'd like to thank the mayor and council for taking the time to revisit my parents, Arnold and Alice Backe's property assessment issue. Some of your reasons for not refunding the amount have been as follows. Your attorney said you should follow the 6-year statute of limitations. If the full amount was refunded, a precedent would be set. Let's talk about the city's practice in using the word precedent. When a boat owner has incurred an extremely large bill with the city, from what I have heard, the city released this person from an exorbitant amount of his debt. I would have to say a precedent was set during that time. Precedent, I believe, played no part in the decision to relieve this person of a major part or all of his debt. This is a different issue. My parents didn't owe the city a large amount of money in property taxes. In fact, they were wrongly charged, and thus they paid too much. Now you are worried about precedent. How fair is the city being regarding these two issues? Now this brings us to the attorney advice to follow the 6-year statute of limitations. After discussing this with the state assessor, he also said there's a 6-year statute of limitations that can be followed, but it is not required and is basically up to the city to do what they would like. I've tried to explain these two scenarios to my parents, and they just don't understand how this can be. Even if a precedent were set, maybe the city would realize how many mistakes this appraisal company has made in the past and present. These mistakes are not fair to the people of Wrangell, and in this case, the money belongs to my parents, not to the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen. Yeah, come on up.
So, Helen's my sister, Arnold and Alice, my parents. I don't know, I thought government was made up for the people by the people. You know, we put trust in our government to take care of us in many ways. You know, trying to embezzle money from my parents at this foolish 6-year that you're going back to. The monies is, I heard the number that the city owes. I don't even think you're coming up halfway to what is owed to them. And just like somebody had a whistleblower, it says, well, maybe there is an apartment down there. You know, so this is a friend of a friend. That's how things work in Wrangell. And I also heard the person that does the appraisal work in town was a friend of a friend. And if this be the case, it's obvious he didn't do his job right. There's plenty of windows downstairs in the shop. I mean, what's your job is to look around, look in the window, and try to figure out what's going on. So he did not do his job right to start with. And I believe if there's other allegations like this, this person should be terminated and get somebody that will do a better job for the city and the people of Wrangell. And I know I'm not going to get no answers. We're not going to find out who the whistleblower is, friend of a friend. We won't find out who the friend of the friend is of the appraiser. But I feel there's a big injustice done here. Like my sister says, my father's getting old. They need the money. You know, there's medical expenses are, you know, dad's in tough shape, you know. We could use every dime we can get. And I appreciate you guys take good thought about it because, you know, we live here. We lived here all of our lives. And we do a good job, see, by, you know, making sure everything's all paid. And we respect the same respect that we give you. You give us the same respect back. And nothing further here. I guess I'll be out.
Thanks, Ray. Appreciate you coming.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. So we're gonna. I want to swing it back. Lisa, do you want to talk at all, or have Joe come up and talk about precedent, or any further on that?
I don't know that unless anybody has any questions about that. I don't think we need to go into further detail. We can if anybody wants to discuss.
Well, I guess I want to wrap my head around this a bit. So the idea is that a homeowner has X amount of time to dispute the tax bill because at some point memories fade or whatever it might be. So is that the idea, is that you have 6 years because that sets a reasonable time frame for an issue to be resolved? Is that the idea?
Joe may be able to speak to why that six-year time frame was put in statute. I certainly it's to set a limit, but why that number was arrived at, I don't know the answer.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, Joe Levesque. So, you know, normally your statute of limitations is 2 years. For contracts, it used to be 6 years. Now it's only three. The only reason the city and borough of Wrangell has 6 years is because it's a political subdivision of the state, and that's what the state has. Okay. If for some reason the Backes had not paid their taxes, the city could only reach back 6 years. Could never get more than that. You can go to court, fight all you want. If the Backes went to court, they couldn't get more than 6 years because that's what the statute says. And the statute is there for finality. You know, there's got to be finality. You can't, you know, come in 20, 30 years later and say, hey, you know, we didn't do this. The fact is, you know, that I'm not an assessor, I'm not an appraiser, but it's really not a science. You know, it's not a true science. I mean, what happens is somebody's looking at the market, they're looking at what comparables are, you know, they're looking at the size of the building. I don't know what went on when they first assessed that property, but I can tell you that the reason you have a board of equalization is so that people can look at their tax bill and come in and say, hey, we don't have an apartment down there, or we have an unfinished basement, or whatever it is. And that's when people are supposed to come forward and say, hey, somebody has this wrong. And that's what the board of equalization is for. And so, unfortunately, this escaped everybody for, you know, a lot of years. And then when it was brought to the attention, it appears that the city and borough did change it. The assessment was changed, I think, in 2013, if I'm correct.
That is accurate. Yes.
Okay, so it started out like in the 90s, like 93, 94, and finally in 2013 is when it was brought to the attention and it was changed. And so going back 6 years, it's the law. And anything that, I'm not saying that the assembly doesn't have the power to do what it wants to do, but I do think this precedent is really important. And the way that it works generally is that if you were inclined to give the Backes all their money back, you better have some kind of a justification so you can distinguish that from everybody else that's going to come in when you open that floodgate and say, what about me? And the law says 6 years. If you want to, you know, change that and be subject to, you know, other things that we don't know what happened 15, 20 years ago. I'm just saying that right now you have finality, and that's what the statute of limitation provides.
Okay.
So if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Okay, here's what I'm having my problem wrapping my head around. This home was constructed in 1994, and that was their first assessment. It was wrong from the get-go. So how would a reasonable person detect to even go to a Board of Equalization? They wouldn't go unless they detected an increase. That's what usually happens.
And
so
that's what we did.
I'm going to just ask that at this point now the conversation is going to revolve around here.
Okay, so yeah, if they eventually went to, because they detected an increase, but it was wrong from the very beginning. Is that correct?
Yes, I would. You,
so, you know, how would, logically speaking, an everyday citizen determine that?
So, Patty, I'm going to let Lisa take that, field that question.
So the reason why this was detected at all was because the assessor made an error and over-assessed the property significantly, and that's when the Backeys and the Kellers realized something was amiss. They came in and to the borough and said, this is wrong, and the assessor agreed with them, but it was at that same time when they actually got the card because of the big misassessment that took place in 1 year, the big jump that took place, that Helen looked at the card and realized that they were being charged an amount per square foot based on an apartment being in the lower level. So had that anomaly not occurred in 2013, they never would have known that it was being misassessed all of this time. And so I agree with you. The card is always there, and there is a responsibility on the part of a property owner to understand what goes into their assessment and all of those things. But unless something triggers you to look, you trust that what is being provided to you is the accurate assessment on your home. And so this is the attorney and I are, you know, we take the stance, we're giving you the facts and this is the law, but this is not easy. It's not easy for me as an administrator to give you a recommendation that is seemingly is completely unfair to a property tax owner who's, you know, overpaid all of this time. So,
Joe, back to you. Actually, Helen, we're going to just keep proceeding here right now, okay? So, 1 second. So, Joe, back to you. So, this shines a little more light on this problem for me, that at the very beginning, it was misassessed. The property owner made the assumption it was assessed correctly, never came and looked at the card. Not until they go along do they discover that, hey, this has been misassessed all the way along. Are we getting closer to justification, or are we still wide open? And the reason I ask that is that it's one thing for me to come and say, my house, I've been misassessed, and now all this time has passed, and memories are forgotten, and everybody forgets that I had a little efficiency suite in my apartment, in my house. I've torn it out or whatever. And I try to chase it all the way back. Do we allow for, is that something that we'd be worried about? Or is this the fact that it was misassessed from the very beginning, and who goes and checks their cars? I guess that's my question. I've never done it.
So Mr. Mayor, I think what neighbors do is they go, look, you know, I got this house and I'm paying these kind of taxes. I mean, those are the kind of dialogues that occur. And then if somebody goes, well, you know, my house is that square foot, how come I'm paying more taxes? After 6 years, people do generally catch on that there's something that's not squaring up here.
I'm not asking my neighbors the right questions because I have no idea what they think.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying that's generally what happens. Okay. But I don't think that it necessarily justifies it. Like I said, they could go to court and they're not going to get more than 6 years.
No, I understand.
We wouldn't get more than 6 years. One of the benefits of the statute right now is that if we do make an error like that and they catch it and come back, they get an 8% interest from the get-go. And I mean, you know, try to get 8% in today's world, you're not going to find 8%.
So basically, you're saying that if we went back to somebody, we're not going to get more than 6 years out of a court, and they're not going to get more than 6 years of court. But if we change this, basically, if we decide to do something different than what the 6 years is, you're telling me that then someone else can walk in here and they can get 20?
I'm saying that somebody else could come in here and say, under the Constitution, I'm entitled to the same benefit that they got. And so I realize the law says 6 years, but since you've already now agreed to gratuitously go beyond the 6 years, then somebody else is going to come in and say, you know, there's this provision in the Constitution called equal protection under the law, and so you have to, you can't treat me differently than anybody else. And that's the precedential concern that I think I'm concerned with, and I think that the manager is.
Because, quite literally, the floodgates could open up, and you could be putting out a lot of money. Okay. Is there any other questions for Joe? Okay. Thank you, Joe. Any other questions for Lisa? Or any comments in general? Go ahead. Yeah, absolutely.
May I have a chance to speak?
Absolutely. Please do.
You want to do it later if you're talking?
You can do it right now, sir.
All right. Thank you. It's only Powell and Mayor Pisanka are the ones I know, and the city manager, she stopped out and she told you how she went to our house and checked the lower area, and there was never, ever apartment for rent down there. There's a lot of storage space. Now, I've got four short stories, I call it, dealing with the city. One of them was Olga Norris's. She owns a house town that we had. And we later told her she could buy it. She loved it the way it was. And later on, as time goes by, the city's improving the road on Church Street and the turn down towards the Elks building. And they were going to take it, part of her entry into the house and make other minor changes. Both she and her husband came out to our house and told me I was coming off, that they're going to be changed. And I felt it was up to me, my duty, to make sure they wanted it the way it was. So I got a hold of one of the workers up there and told him to go get a boss and bring him here. I want to talk to him. And he did it. And the boss came and I told him that you're not allowed to make changes because the city said that there wasn't going to be any changes. And I told him that I didn't have a lawyer now, but as soon as I can, I'll have to shut the job down. You'll have to excuse me, but I have trouble in my throat. I've got Parkinson's.
Okay. You're doing fine, sir.
Now, a little history of the house is, her was for sale, and Mrs. Cunningham said it itself to my wife and I, and we were not yet married, but we both went up there and talked to her. She said it was for sale for $10,000. There were two different families offered her $15,000, and she told them both no, that she promised it to us. So I went to Juneau to the last of that. I'm a veteran, and asked them if I could get a loan from them on this house, and that it was promised me for $10,000. They wanted to know if I really thought it was. I told them it was well worth more than that. So he asked if there's anyone that could vouch for me. I asked him, how would Senator Nolan, would that be all right? And they said yes. So I flew back home and talked to Senator Nolan and asked him if he could do it. Just a letter, simple letter. And he wanted to know if I thought it was worth more than that. And I told him yes, a lot more. And he said, well, we'll go take a look at it. We went right up, and Mr. Cunningham, let us go through the whole building. And he said, that's right, it's well worth more than that. He put that down. The next day I flew up to Juneau, and they okayed the loan. I asked him how long would it take. He says, sometimes it takes a long time. 3 days later, I had the money. But Senator Nolan knows me. And I thanked him a million times. Excuse me. Now, I was, one little short thing about that house. I came home and right across the street was by the senior citizens, there was an old shed there, flat roof shed. And the doors were about falling off it, and little kids were playing in it. And I wondered what's in there. I'm afraid somebody might get hurt, so I went over and looked. And there was a case of dynamite, full case, not open, old. And nitro was bleeding out of it. So right away I went to the city and told them about it. And they removed it. What they did with it, I don't know. So that's the story. And the other one is on my threeplex up there. The city was going to repair the road going up the hill from our threeplex, which is in back of the Presbyterian Church. And the surveyor, he's passed away now. But he said they're going to raise the road 8 inches. And anyway, I told him, if you do that, then any storms at all come down the hill, around the corner, and right into my bottom of basement apartment. And said, well, we'll talk about it. And then he came back and told me that it's going to go 8 inches higher. It worked many years the way it was. But any heavy snowfall or anything like that would change the flow of the water. So they talked about putting a well right at the edge of the road down and connect it to the sewer, a sewer line, not the sewer. And So they did, but they stipulated that they would have a maid so that the grate could be lifted out of there and in about the same size as this and cleaned so it wouldn't plug up, which as I know, they only did it once the whole time we had the place.
Mr. Backe, I want to thank you so much for sharing that with us and letting us know some of the things that have gone on and how important your house is to you and what a piece of history, living history you are in our community. And I really appreciate you coming down tonight to talk to us. I really do. And I know the Assembly feels the same way too. So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
How long has it been since this happened with my apartment?
How long have you been, sorry?
My house. How many years did I, and I'm waiting again. It's just as bad as when the landslide came down and hit my fourplex out there.
Yeah.
And I had to wait about 20 years It was 10 years before I had taken to court.
Okay, well, hopefully we don't wind up there again, Mr. Backe. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. I'm going to let the Assembly now have some discussion, and then we're going to vote on this matter, okay?
Well, I think...
Thank you.
I think this way, sir.
Okay, thank you, Cappy. I appreciate it very much.
That you wanted to know all the facts about it.
You bet. And I feel like we've gotten some good information here.
And all these cases, the four cases I was talking about, was one lopsided in the favor of the city, just like they got hold of my money. Now, even you might shuffle some of this blame off, or most of the blame, or the start of the blame, by the assessor. But...
Okay, at this point, sir, I'm sorry. I've got to keep things moving right now, so I'm going to ask for Arnie to give you a hand back, and we're going to discuss a little bit more, and then we're going to have our vote, okay? But thank you very much. I really do appreciate it.
May I have another meeting with you? So you can hear the rest of the story?
You know what? I would love to sit down with you and have a coffee.
I'd like the whole council to hear this.
You can come back and speak to us again at the next meeting, at the beginning, for sure. We have to at some point move on in our agenda. We've got a lot of things to cover and we want to have an opportunity for people to discuss, okay? Thank you so much, sir. I appreciate it.
I'm just letting you know that everything I've told you is factual.
Thank you very much, Cappy. I appreciate it.
In the near future?
Yes, the next meeting, I'll get Helen to bring you down, and I'm also available to talk with you too, sir. Okay?
I would like the whole council to be here.
For sure. You're welcome to come talk to us at the next meeting.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And another thing,
Arnie, actually, we're gonna stop it there now, okay? Because we've got to move things on. I've got to get back to let the council have a discussion here. But thank you.
One of the problems is trying not to put out all this money if we can help it. The appraiser is bonded, and the city's bonded. What would it take to file a claim with their bonding authority? Because this is their mistake, and how much money could be recouped?
Yeah, I asked about that when this first came up, if the appraisers.
Joe, do you want to talk about the bonding and limitations, if there's anything by statute?
Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly. So, as far as the city being bonded, I'm not sure who in the city.
I hope all financial, anybody who handles money should be bonded.
I believe individuals are bonded.
Right, but they're bonded for like misfeasance, malfeasance, intentional acts of
kind of stretching here, but certainly the appraising company.
The appraising company may be, and I've not, that's the first time I've heard anything about that. It's nothing that I've been asked to look into, but we could look into what the appraisal company has for, it may not be bonding, it may be some type of personal liability insurance.
And?
Is this the same appraisal company that's been doing this since 1994, though?
Renfro, I think it is. Yeah.
It's one of the only companies that I'm aware of, the Appraisal Company of Alaska, that does the contract work with independent municipalities.
There's a lot of their appraisers available in the state.
Right. A lot of the bigger municipalities have their own in-house, you know, right, appraiser or assessor. So. There may be one or two companies, but that's, you know, that's one of the big ones that I've come across.
Okay, thank you. Patty, go ahead.
Well, I think it's to our benefit to check their liability insurance and, you know, what remedy that they could afford to the city on behalf of the Backes.
Or to the Backes directly.
Well, since we collected it,
it would have to be come
to us. But, I mean, we may have to, I don't know if you have to sue them or, they should have insurance.
Right. And so there should be some type of insurance, you're correct. And so this is a conversation that I could have with Renfro and the Alaska Appraisal Company. And I haven't had it, so if you'd like me to do that, I can certainly do that.
Are you, I'm sorry.
So Kim, help me out here. If we're looking for further information on this, would we just
postpone
the motion and then pending additional information from the attorney?
If what you have in front of you can change based on what information is brought back, then yes.
Well, what can change is the bottom figure. That's what can change.
Correct.
Very easily. The language and verbiage would remain the same. It's the bottom line figure. And so the only question that I would have on this, Joe, is that I guess my question would be that I would imagine the appraiser has a similar term of limit for claims, because everybody has a term of limit. We don't know what that is, but I'm assuming there would be one.
And the appraiser probably has like a 2-year or a 3-year, because it's only the state of Alaska and its political subdivisions that have a 6-year.
6 years is very extremely gracious. I mean, 6 years is
and it can be even longer, but it has to involve fraud. Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody has to prove that it was fraudulently done. Then you can reach back even further than 6 years.
But this is a manifest error.
It is.
So does that have any bearing?
No. It doesn't change the statute of limitations. There are other cases where, where the municipality of Anchorage, for instance, went into a warehouse space and over-calculated what the square footage was and charged these people, you know, quite a bit of money. And so they actually sued and went back. And it was a manifest error, but it didn't change the statute of limitations.
So, at this point, is there a motion to postpone?
I got something.
David, go ahead.
I got no question for you right
okay,
now, Joe.
Thanks,
Joe.
I would like to say that I've known Kathy for a long, long time. The one thing I have a problem with, what was said earlier to the council and stuff, is we don't have a lawyer in our back pocket every time we make a decision. It's very hard to sit up here and make decisions, and we make mistakes. I mean, that's just the way it is. So, did we make a mistake and maybe set precedence on a bill that somebody came in here? Maybe we did, and maybe we didn't. But when it comes down to this kind of stuff, these are decisions that we have to make, and it makes it really hard because we all live together. So when we make a decision like this, it has no personal bearing to anybody. Me, it does in a way, and it doesn't. So I just want to say that you know, we make mistakes, and I'm sorry that the people that work for us make mistakes. So I just want to say that you know, we're not infallible. We're just normal people like everybody else.
And
The only thing I've got, I mean, this is a very unfortunate situation, period. It's too bad it wasn't picked up when it first happened, but it wasn't, so there's a mistake on someone's part. But we are a nation of laws. We've got a law set up for this. If we can go to the appraisal company and get something done through them, from them, that will alleviate part of this burden on us, the city, and help the Bakkes, then let's take that approach, see what happens. It's just
one. One caution that I would have with this is that if we wind up getting into a lawsuit type of thing, you know what lawsuits cost. We could wind up spending much more than we'll ever recover and may not prevail. And my second concern is that if we start going about suing the only appraisal service in the state, we may wind up having to...
I wasn't suggesting we go to a lawsuit.
No, I understand. I guess what I'm just saying is we've got to be somewhat cautious when we do it. But at this point, I am looking for a motion to postpone this motion, and if there is none, then I'm going to bring it forward to a poll vote.
Can I just say, it would be my recommendation to either vote this
up or down,
because if it's voted up and it's still the desire of the assembly for our attorney to check with the appraisal company or to see what recourse we have, we can always bring something back in the form of a new resolution that can supersede this resolution. As long as action hasn't been taken, then we can do that.
I'll let the assembly decide if they want to do a postponement or vote it up and down. I mean, if I don't hear a motion, we're moving to an up or down and then a recommendation. David?
I have another question for Joe, please.
Joe? Thank you, Joe.
Mr. Mayor, members of the assembly, Joe Levesque.
Joe, so if we actually voted this down and asked you to do more research for us on this, basically are you telling, what I thought I heard is you said that this company is only basically 2 years...
Just a moment. I don't have an answer for that.
Don't know why I'm asking. Here's an answer for you. Okay, back to reality. What are we looking at? You're telling us that it's only 2 years. They're basically bound by 2 years.
Right.
And so if they're bound by 2 years, the most I can see here is a little over $500.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead.
Just because their liability insurance may only go back 2 years doesn't mean that we, and by we I mean myself and the attorney, don't have the ability to try to negotiate something outside of their insurance.
Okay.
With the, so we do have that option to explore.
Yes.
So then it sounds like to me that it might be worth our while to at least explore this, like Anne was saying. So,
please, clerk and attorney, weigh in. If you vote it down, and what turns out to, and this turns out to be exactly what needs to be brought back to you, then the only way it can be brought back in its existing form is through the formal reconsideration process, I believe.
I would say that it can be brought back in its same, not reconsideration, but in the same, if it's the will of the assembly. And, do you agree with that?
And I would agree, but normally reconsideration and rescinding
is
a big part of this, but I agree that, I mean, I know what the clerk said, but I think you should just postpone it.
Well, that's where I'm at, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah, I think you should just postpone it, and to answer Assemblymember Powell, yeah, I'd be happy to talk to Renfro and see if I can sweeten the pot. I don't know what I can do, but that's what I believe I would do with the city managers, just see if I could get something to help make these people more whole, because I'm sympathetic as well, but I have to protect my client.
Right. Okay, at this point, unless Patty has a
question?
No, I was
just going to move to postpone.
Okay. So, Julie, go ahead.
Oh, Patty, get you to it.
Patty, go ahead.
I move to postpone this item.
It means we have a second. And seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assemblymember Stecker?
Yes.
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
And Mayor Prisanka?
Yes. And of course, this is with the recommendation moving forward that the attorney and the city manager will meet with Renfrew and Associates to see if there's any other relief that we can bring to the Back East through that process, and we will get back with the Back East and let them know where we stand. So we're moving on now to, oh, actually, at this point, I'd like to take a 15-minute recess, and we will, at 8:50, and we will readjourn, 7:50, we'll readjourn at 8:05. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good luck with
that. Okay, ready?
I'm gathering back in at 8:06, and we are moving on to item 13A. Resolution number 12-19-1503 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Rango, Alaska, supporting roadless rule alternative 6.
Move to approve resolution number 12-19-1503.
Second. Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Maya.
I think this is a terrible idea. It doesn't speak to the public meetings that were held talking about this issue. There are many other municipalities and tribal governments that have taken a different stance, and I don't think, I really appreciate a lot of the recommendations that come down the chute. I don't think this one is accurate, one that we should take for our community members. We're here to represent them.
Thank you, Maya. Anyone else?
We have administration. Don't we have a recommendation from them on this issue?
The Assembly Member Powell, the resolution was written the way that it is to support alternative 6 primarily for two reasons. The first is that that was the recommendation from the EDC board, and the letter that was drafted by Carol Rushmore on behalf of work that was done by the EDC and the CVB board speaks to alternative 6, in addition to some education and some other things. And additionally, the mayor asked for the resolution to be brought forward with this recommendation. So for those two reasons, and a third, but not so much to this degree, that is the recommended alternative from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which is the overarching agency above the U.S. Forest Service. So those were the primary reasons why it was written to support Roadless Rule 6. I certainly have no foregone conclusion as to where we will end up at all, and so I'm leaving it to the Assembly to have a discussion and come up with whatever recommendation you have.
Okay, so I was at the meeting that the community had and everything, and I'm just going to say that this little thing right here that we're doing right here today is not in any way going to sway the federal government. Okay, it does not matter how we vote. I'm seriously going to say that. It's for alternative 1 or 6. Although, at the meeting, I heard a lot of talk. If you go to alternative 6, does not the logging of clear cutting and all that stuff is not going to happen anyways, according to this meeting, because there's a lot of oversight on how things are done for logging. Okay, so I don't see really the contentious part of this, although I've had multiple people talk to me about they want to see alternative 6. So, I don't know which way, honestly, what we're going to accomplish here about doing alternative 1 for the city or alternative 6, but I've only had one person talk to me outside of this meeting that wanted alternative 1.
I'm in the same boat with you, Dave. What I see, I was looking at Dave Rack's letter, and what he says is true, but roads for a mine would be allowed, for mineral development would be allowed, but severely restricted under what is in place right now. Roads for exploration would not be allowed. And he was talking about the road corridors, and as far as I know, the only approved corridor for roads is the one from Bradfield to Canada. That's the only one that's actually been through and approved. So some of the other things that we would no longer have access to any stream enhancement on federal lands. Hatcheries, no more hatcheries on federal lands, if this stays in. But what I'm looking for is let's not cut off our nose and spite our face for development of infrastructure for jobs. And almost all of this refers to logging, and I'm not even really looking at logging. I'm looking at stream enhancement for fisheries, hatcheries, mining exploration maybe, putting in a new power line wouldn't be allowed on federal land that's in this 19 million acres. Now, there are 19 million acres out there. 13 million of it or more is already set aside in wilderness, LUDs, in national monuments. You can't touch it. That leaves 6 million acres. Out of that 6 million acres, two-thirds of it, if you're talking about logging, are not suitable for logging. The timber's not commercially valuable enough to log. So that leaves a third of it. So I'm just saying, you know, and I have to agree with you. I don't think what we do or say here tonight, other than get everyone amped up, is going to make any difference. Just saying.
Hey, you know, I think for me, and I've wrestled with this, but I when I was in D.C., I went and saw Don Young, that's Congressman Young, and who's been there forever. And in the middle of our conversation, he was started talking about the roadless rule. And he said, I hope you people realize logging on the Tongass is dead. And I said, yep, we do realize that. Our mill is gone. The pulp production is, you know, the ability to deal with pulp. He said, we're never going back. So then I left the room, and our lobbyist, who's been there forever, said, oh my God, he fell over. He was like, oh, I can't believe he just said that. Because all these years he's been fighting to rebuild the timber industry, and now there's this recognition that what we had is not going to be there.
No, I mean, the pulp mills are not going to come back. The mills are not going to come back here. It's going to look different. But I hate to see it all this animosity towards an industry that could provide blue-collar jobs. I mean, your community needs three legs on a milking stool. You have to have three legs to your economy. And
absolutely.
I have ping-ponged back between 1 and 6 so many times, and I've looked at the maps, and they are not user-friendly. I've gone through all the different alternatives. I do think, they say on page 56, that there will always be areas that have special designations.
Yes, they do.
The LUDs, as you mentioned, you'll always have to have site-specific environmental analysis. Mm-hmm. You'll have to comply with NEPA, no matter what alternative you take. I believe I'm reading it right.
Sure.
You're going to have massive public involvement, and also permission basically from Alaska Natives.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my problem, is alternative 6, if they still have those same safeguards.
What's the issue?
Is there really a potential bomb ready to go off?
And as far as the question, why do we want to make a statement? Part of it for me was that as I met with Senator Murkowski's office, who has worked diligently to move this forward, has worked diligently. And I thought to myself, you know, if we opt out and just go like, I sort of like put two alternatives down and we wiffle waffle and we don't make a commitment. I think it doesn't bode well for us as a community in terms of politically that we're not working with our congressional delegation and supporting their efforts and trying to ensure that we have the ability to grow. And highlight it for me was Gilead.